Man, I'm telling you what, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? I'm looking forward to today and tonight. It's party time around here. Are you guys good with that?
Yeah.
I've had enough bad news for the year, and I'm just ready to enjoy what we have in Jesus and not be afraid of what's going to happen, but be thankful for what we have. If we lost it all today, it's been a good life, hasn't it? It's been a great life. That's what I want to talk to you about today, finding peace at Thanksgiving. Man, if you watch the news, we just are a mess. I mean, even ISIS is threatening to blow up the World Wrestling WWE thing in Atlanta. I would love to see ISIS scrap with those guys. Wouldn't that be great TV? Wouldn't that just be great? You know, wrestling is real. I just want you all to know that. I've been watching it since I was a kid, and it is real as it's just pure human emotion. This verse that you see on the screen, I think, is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You'll see this verse on Facebook a lot, right? This is a good Facebook verse, isn't it? And typically, what they mean are things like this. You know, you'll see football guys, you know, I can do all things through Christ. And what they mean is I can carry the ball through the line, or I can run 40 yards in, you know, 2 seconds or whatever they do. Or, you know, I can run 4 yards in 40 seconds, so I'm good there. Maybe it'll be something like this. You know, I can lift that weight. I can do all things through Christ. Or, you know, I'm this warrior and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm just, you know, then this poor guy here. I don't know why when I saw that I thought of the bear, my grandson. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's a great verse. I love it. It's a hopeful verse. It's one that inspires and encourages. But what I think is really cool is that when you take this verse and you put it back into the context that it was written, it takes on some really awesome meaning. When you find out what this really means, it means more than these things. And when you look at Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Philippian church and he's saying this. You see, Paul is finding peace in Thanksgiving, not in the Thanksgiving the way we celebrate it. But Paul has written here, he says, I have learned how to be content even when I have everything. I have learned how to be content when I have nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. To me, when I read this verse, and we find Paul saying, listen, I know what it means to have everything I need, and I learned how to deal with that. I've learned what it means to have nothing. Can I get an amen to when you've had nothing? You know what I'm talking about? You know, my dad used to say that he used to pinch nickels so tight that the Indian rode the buffalo. You know what I'm talking about? Now, you have to go back in time to remember that. I can remember that. I can remember times when we were in college. This is the truth. We were just poor seminarians and, you know, rich in love and all that good sort of thing. But, you know, being rich in love will still keep you skinny. Amen to that. And I can remember truly being so poor. I mean, so dead broke that I was looking for change in the car to feed my wife. I can remember that. But happy days. And you know, what's interesting to me is I find that, at least for myself, I'm no happier now than I was when I was looking for change in the car. Now, here's the interesting thing. You can still find change in my car. Maybe just a little bit more, but not much. But I can do all things through Christ. It's like Paul is saying here. He's like, listen, once I figured out the secret of learning how to be happy with everything, and once I learned the secret of learning how to be happy with nothing, I've mastered it all. From here on out, I can do anything. That's what he's saying. Because when a person really figures out how to be content with what they have, regardless. And here's the interesting thing to me. You know, the people that have a lot are probably, or many times, as unhappy as people that have nothing. Have you ever seen that? You're like, what could you possibly be unhappy about? All right, Christmas quote before Thanksgiving. All right, so you've already heard a song. Christmas quote before Thanksgiving. Scrooge and his nephew are talking. Merry Christmas, he says to his nephew. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. See what Scrooge says? How could you possibly be happy because you're poor? Come then, the nephew replies. What right have you to be dismal? Because you're rich enough. Dickens there shows the irony of the nephew who has nothing being happy and Scrooge who had everything being morose or unhappy. And that's what I want to speak to you about today and encourage our hearts in the Lord. When Paul writes this Philippians thing, he teaches us how to find peace this Thanksgiving. How to be extremely at peace. And if there's one thing that this world needs is we just need to get back to some just good old fashioned, I'm good with life, I'm peaceful. I'm good. Well, you don't have anything. Who cares? Really? Well, you have a lot. Yeah. Finding peace this Thanksgiving, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, then you will experience God's peace. You got my attention there. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now, that's a hook. Then, well, when you say then, I want to know when and what are you talking about? What have you just said that says to me, then you will have God's peace. Then you will be so satisfied. Then you won't worry. Then you will lay down in the presence of your enemies. Then you will lay down beside still waters. Then you will lie down in green pastures. Then you'll just have this awesome sense that no matter what happens in my life, it's not going to be good, maybe, but I'm good. What did he just say to do then? That's a conditional statement. He says, if you'll do these things, you can find it in your text there. He says, then you will experience God's peace. The first thing is pray about everything. Man, we overlook this. Do you know the value of prayer? Every good Christian's like, yeah, I sure do. I saw a neat quote on Facebook about it. No, come on. I mean, really. Do you know the value of throwing your burdens on someone greater than you? Pray about everything. Is there anything that we can't pray about? Is there anything? My daughter and my wife are expert prayers. I could give you instances in my life. My life has benefited from those two women because they are masters about praying about everything. I mean, details matter to them. I could tell you story after story after story. I'm going to tell on Kristen. She just walked out of here a little bit ago, but she probably doesn't know this, but I found a page of some of her writing that she did one time. This is when they moved here from Colorado. And on this paper, she had written a prayer. I'm not exposing anything that's confidential, but I think this is so precious. She writes down, Lord, I'd really like this kind of a house, and could you give me this, and I would really like it to feel like this. And I'm like, who would ask that kind of stuff? And I know what I'm paying these kids. It'll never happen. They're in the ministry. Kristen was taking her kids to school out here at Carpenters Elementary. And she drives by this big farmhouse, just like the one that she was praying about. And she saw a sign in the ditch that had fallen down that said, for rent. There's this big farmhouse that she had prayed for. I mean, it was just like it was built for her prayer. And then there was another house, and she saw the sign that had fallen over, and you know, my thing was, well, yeah, it's just an old sign that fell out of a truck. You know, I'm so spiritual. Or no, what it means is it means that little brick house that's for rent. And I'm going to not tell the long version of this, but God gave her and her family exactly what she prayed for. I think that we just totally undersell this thing. If you want to have the peace of God in your life, pray about everything. There's nothing you can't ask. So many things. I think this is my life. I have missed out on so many things because I haven't asked for it. You know the verse that says you have not because you ask not. And what I find myself doing if I'm not careful is I would rather worry about something than pray, because somehow I think worry gets things done. How many of you remember the old Kung Fu show? Remember Grasshopper and all that? This has profoundly affected me. Years ago, I'm gonna get me a Kleenex here. Pardon me. Years ago, I used to watch Kung Fu, and I was just fascinated with, you know, the martial arts. And that's when I did adopt the "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And you know, I'm just kidding. All the Kung Fu stuff. And the master told Grasshopper one day, he says this, and this is funny: worry never changes anything. I know that's really profound, but to a young man, it was profound. But I still find myself worrying rather than praying, because I undervalue prayer and I overvalue worry. We have plenty to pray about around here. Let me give you this official announcement. Mark this down in the annals of Victory Baptist Church history. This is your 2-week warning. In 2 weeks from today, we are going to vote on, as a church, those of you that are faithful, qualified voters, are going to vote on as a church buying these two properties up on top of the hill. We've signed the deals. We've signed the contracts. The deal is in place. You're going to be getting mail over the holidays to purchase those. It's in your hands now, yes or no. And let me tell you something. This is a big step for us. I'm not going to lie to you. And this preacher and this staff are praying about it, saying, God, this is a big step. You know, we kind of feel like, you know, the spies that went up to the promised land, to God says, go in there and take that land. And we're looking down there and going, yeah, but there's giants down there. But yeah, that's a lot of money. But yeah, how are we going to do that? Pray about it and go do it, in my opinion. Been here and done this before. I've expanded churches before, been a part of churches that expanded before that couldn't do it until they took the first step. You ever taken a step of faith like that? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not trying to discourage you, because I think we can do it and should do it. But we pray about it. And I encourage you to pray about that. Maybe you have a huge thing in your life that you're facing. Pray about it. Ask God for anything. My wife and I, from the time we were kids together, began to pray about the spouse that our kids would marry. So far, we've got one good in-law and one bad son-in-law. Now, I'm not saying God will answer all your prayers. About everything. Cody, you know I love you. Proud of you as a dad. Cody is an amazing dad. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. This is how you get the peace of God that passes understanding. Tell God what you need. Just tell Him. Here's most mornings at 9:30 or 10, we will, as a staff, pray right here on these steps. Some of us sit over here. Most of us are over here. And we pray for God to give us such a huge visible impact in this city that people will wonder what's going on in Victory. We're asking God to give us more money than we need to do ministry that's bigger than we've ever done. We've asked God to bring the people into the church that can not only supply the resources, but can supply the manpower. We're asking God for young families to come into this church. We're asking for God to give us influence on our public schools. We're asking God to give us influence in the community. We're asking God to heal certain members in our church. We're asking God to put certain families back together that have been disbanded because of sin. We're asking God for anything we can think of. We're asking God to heal a little girl who's laying in children's hospital a day with leukemia. We're asking for God to save particular family members in our families that are not saved. We just flat out believe you can ask God for anything. And we're not going to live that life that says you have not because you ask not. If we have not, it's because we asked and God said no, and we're okay with it. See, because when you stop worrying about something and you just tell God, if you believe He's sovereign like I do, then if you end up having nothing, I ask. This is what He chose for me. And the peace of God comes in your life. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Powerful. Thank Him for what He's done. The house that we live in now, we are so thankful for. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It's a gift from God that was made possible through people. I'm not going to tell you the story other than it's just absolutely a gift of God. Every day that we get up and walk around our house, we say thank you. Last night at 10 o'clock at night before we went to bed, we walked through the house. And we said, God's been good to us. We got in a car that sits in the garage. God's been good to us. We walk to the pantry and there's Oreos. God's been good to us. We have grandsons and family. My daddy's in heaven. My mom's going to be here for Thanksgiving. It's so easy to look at what you don't have and forget to thank the hand of God that's given you so much. Thank Him for what He's done. You see, when you do that, His peace will guard your hearts and your minds. His peace stands in front of you as a guard. Guard you. He guards your hearts, which are your emotions. He guards your minds, which your thinking is always tied to your emotions. And your emotions are tied to your thinking. He puts the whole thing together. He lets you sigh. When you are thankful for what you've got and you ask for what you need, when you pray about everything, 1 Peter 5:7 comes into play. You cast all of your care on Him because He cares for you. Now I hear you care. And I'm good with that. Call it a crutch if you want to. I call Him my Savior. He cares for me. And if I get sick, He cares for me. And if my loved ones get sick, He cares for me. If I don't have anything, He cares for me. If I have too much and I forget Him, He's patient with me. See, anxious thoughts are just so catastrophic and devastating in our lives. So many wrong things happen to us when we decide that we will just worry about it ourselves. We'll worry about it ourselves, and the peace of God leaves us. And it's not there. And so if you want peace this Thanksgiving, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank you for what He's done. And at that point, this is just where I am. I don't know what else to do. If we don't have beans in the cupboard, I ask Him. Here's one of the cool things that I know. I believe it was the psalmist that said, I was young, and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I'm not going to strive or worry. If He destroys me, I'm His. I choose to be thankful.